So let's read chapter 15, starting at verse 36. This is shortly after the meeting that was held in Jerusalem, where Paul and Barnabas and Titus and at least some other people who had been appointed to go there asked the apostles and elders in the church in Jerusalem, did you really send these people out to tell people that they needed to be circumcised? And of course, they wrote a letter responding to that. They said, we didn't give them that commandment. Then this is what happened. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. There arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him, sailed away to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So a little bit of background. Paul and Barnabas are ready to go on this second great preaching trip. They have established some churches on their first preaching trip, and it just stands to reason that they said, let's go see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them. Paul refused. The only thing that we know about the reason for Paul's refusal is that Mark had, in the words of the English Standard Translation, withdrawn from them on an earlier trip, and he, again, quoting the English Standard, the English Standard Version, he had not gone with them to the work. Now, you don't read that here in Acts 15. You know about that because that event is described in Acts 13 at verse 13. But again, it's a terse description. You just don't have a lot of information. What happened? Why did John Mark decide not to go with them? We really don't know. The only thing that we can say about this, about John Mark and why he left, is that apparently Paul felt like it was blameworthy. And he didn't want John Mark to go with them. It's apparently, at least in my mind, it's a disagreement over the best way to accomplish a task. We want to go on this preaching tour. The best way, as Barnabas saw it, was to take John Mark with them. As the Apostle Paul saw it, not to take John Mark with them. And it's a sharp disagreement. It wasn't just that they had a discussion about it. They disagreed about it. So, what do we know about Barnabas? Now, this is why I say you have to know the background of these people to understand what the crux of the disagreement was. And I'm not sure that we have all the information that we'd like to have. I don't have all the information I'd like to have, but this is what I know. Barnabas is described in Acts 4 at verse 36 again. Really short description of Barnabas. He's a Levite from Cyprus. So he's in the tribe of Levi, and he comes from Cyprus. He's called a son of encouragement in two different places, in Acts 4, verses 36 and 37, and then again in Acts, the 11th chapter, verse 23. So this is, there's something about Barnabas's character, his behavior, that when people meet him, they just know he's an encourager. That's what he does. He's defended Paul in Jerusalem. Now remember, we read in Acts 9, when Paul wanted to join the church in Jerusalem and be with them, they wouldn't let him initially. They were afraid of him. And it was Barnabas, who had been up in Damascus with Paul, who said, no, he really is converted. He had been through all of Paul's first preaching trip, continued with Paul even after Mark left. I don't know why Mark left. I don't know exactly what Barnabas's role was in this preaching trip, but he's described as a fellow laborer. So maybe they had two preachers. He makes a second preaching trip with Mark, and then he kind of drops out of the picture. We just really don't know what is going to happen with Barnabas. But we do know that he's one of the people who is later influenced by Peter's hypocrisy in Galatians 2 at verse 13. You remember what had happened in Galatians 2? Peter comes to Galatia and he meets with the church. The church in Galatia is kind of a mixed bag, Jews and Gentiles. And some people had come with Peter from Jerusalem who were Jews. And when they got there, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. So all of a sudden, this stalwart of the faith gives in to Jewish pressure, and he won't eat with the Gentiles. And it struck people as so serious that even Barnabas got caught up in that. And he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. Now, say what you want about Peter. He is an impetuous individual. That's absolutely true. And he's got his weaknesses, like all of us do. But I'm surprised that Barnabas was caught up in this. Because Barnabas had spent a lot of time with the Apostle Paul preaching to Gentiles. He was one of the people that carried the letter that they wrote in Jerusalem that said, we didn't tell people they had to be circumcised. But anyway, that's what we know about Barnabas. Any comments, any thoughts about what you see in Barnabas? I see him as a man who, if you were having difficulty, Barnabas wanted to come and sit beside you. And he wanted to say, you know, we can get through this. I think that's just his character. Anybody else? Observations? Yeah.
Well, you know that...
I'm sorry?
You know the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Get involved here for whatever reason, because it didn't bother the work. We still had two teams of people going out and doing the work.
Okay. So, I'm going to ask you to hang on to that thought for just a minute. We'll get to the resolution in just a minute. But let's talk about Barnabas. I don't want people to go away from this thinking that Barnabas is just Barnabas is just mean. Nolan.
I don't think he's mean. I think he's somebody that wants to be liked. I think he likes to be with people and be liked. I think he's a people pleaser.
Okay. That's a fair comment. That's a fair comment looking at Galatians 2 at verse 13. Well, what do we know about Paul? He's absolutely unswerving in his dedication to Jesus and his dedication to Jesus' work. He gets stoned, he's shipwrecked, the Jews chase him from one city to another. Paul is not deterred by anything. Is that fair? What do you think?
Yes. Is it unfair? He's not deterred by anything?
Okay.
Well, I've read it.
Yeah, Carol.
Well, I don't know whether it's fair or not, but when your focus is that strong, and you look at somebody else whose focus isn't that strong, he goes about it in a less charitable way than maybe he should have. It, because he was so devoted, because he knew he'd been so wrong, he just couldn't comprehend somebody turning around and walking away from the work. It was too hard for him to think that. He didn't want to have that affect him ever because he had made such a huge mistake to start off with and Jesus had chosen him.
Okay. But you also have to remember, Paul is the one that wrote the book of Romans and in chapter 14. And he talks about weak people and he says, you extend grace to the weak people. So he's absolutely devoted and he wants to be sure that weak people are supported, they're held up. If you look at the book of Hebrews, I don't know whether Paul wrote Hebrews or not. I tend to think that it was Barnabas who wrote the book of Hebrews, but that's just me. A lot of people think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is a really encouraging book for people who are weak, who are having difficulty. So, you know, Paul is the one that wrote 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, where he says, you know, we all know that there's just one God, but not everybody really knows that. Remember my illustration? Learning how to rappel down a cliff. I knew the rope would hold me, but every fiber of my being when I started down that cliff was saying, Dean, this is really stupid. You're 330 feet up in the air and you're dangling over the side of this cliff and the only thing you've got is a quarter inch rope and you did it intentionally. How dumb are you? And Paul is so understanding of the weakness that we have. Yeah.
So both Barnabas and Paul are both men that were chosen by the Holy Spirit to go and spread God's word. So they are still men. Paul has his weaknesses. We already know that because he's talked about it when he had a physical issue that he prayed three times fervently to God, and God did not take that away from him. So we do know that. We also know the fact that, like Paul was saying, like Roy was saying about Paul and Barnabas, we just know the fact that because the Holy Spirit did both of them work to do God's will, they both were supposed to do a work. And everybody, we're people, we will have differences of opinion. And so this was an opinion thing, so the Holy Spirit left it alone and let them both go how they were going to go and have their difference of opinion, because it did not come down. When it came down to the truth was still going to be spread. God's word was still going to be spread no matter what. So we just have to remember, these both were men. It didn't matter who wrote which book in the Bible, they were both just men when it came down to it. And so that's why the Holy Spirit stepped back, let them do their thing, let Paul have his opinion, have Barnabas have his opinion, and they were so adamant against their opinions, were so adamant against each other, They just decided, okay, this is not something to break up our friendship with. Let's just depart and do our separate ways.
Okay. Again, hang on to that. That's a really good thought, but I want to hang on to that till we get to resolution. Okay? So what do we know about Mark? We've got two men, neither one of which is mean-spirited. Okay? But like you say, and you've well said, they're just men. They have weaknesses. Okay? One wants to do it one way, another wants to do it another way. Then there's Mark. He's kind of in the middle of all of this. He's being tugged both ways. So what do we know about Mark? Apparently, this is the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Now, it wasn't written at this time. He didn't write it until about the year 52. And what we're talking about here is something that happened probably in the mid-40s. So Mark sometime written between 55 and 59. He's apparently the author of that gospel. Now, some people would also think that he's the son of Mary, who's mentioned in Acts 12 at verse 12. Again, I don't know very much about who that man was, but I do know that he's Barnabas's cousin. And I know that later, after Paul had been so dead set against John Mark going with them on their second missionary journey, later he works with Paul. And Paul speaks very highly of Mark as a fellow laborer. Okay? So, you know, in some ways, I look at this and it's kind of like what happened in Acts 9 when the church in Jerusalem said, no, you can't be with us, because they were afraid of it. They had some preconceptions and they said, no, you can't be with us. Now, later they relented, and based on what Barnabas said, Paul did join with them there in Jerusalem, but we make mistakes. Okay? And here's Paul. He says, I don't want John Mark to go with us. And then later, Mark is spoken of in such glowing terms. So I think Paul probably made a mistake in his reasoning about Mark. Okay, yeah, Roy.
Well, Barnabas and Mark had strong ties still to Jerusalem, just like Peter. And if we take a look at Peter's background, Peter had strong ties, even family and stuff. He just didn't travel very far from Jerusalem. So we don't know the reason why John went back to Jerusalem, except he still had a mother to take care of and everything there. And there may have been something that he had planned on beforehand in his own mind. Maybe he didn't tell Paul that he needed to go back. We don't know. We're not given any detail, except that he had some ties to Jerusalem, and therefore felt he needed to return at that time. And later on, Paul got over it, as you said, and had no problem with it. Right now, it was an issue for him.
Right.
But Paul never made any mistakes, so that's okay.
Okay. He's unlike me. You know, he made mistakes, but I never have. Well, maybe one. It was 1958, I think. No, just teasing. Everybody knows I'm teasing. So what was the resolution? Paul took Silas, Barnabas took Mark, and they separated. One went one way, one went another way. They both continued to preach the gospel, just like Roy had pointed out earlier. They both continued to preach the gospel. And even Paul or Barnabas here in this event are censured for their conclusions regarding Mark or their deciding to separate. There is no indication that this was an ungodly resolution. And I think it's important to notice that these two men did not vilify each other for reaching different conclusions. Unfortunately, most of us have been in those situations where we drew one conclusion, somebody else drew another conclusion, all based on sound reasoning from God's word, and we decided to separate. The first thing that happens is you have to vilify me and I vilify you. And I talk about what a terrible person Roy is to everybody that'll listen to me. And Roy talks about what a terrible person Dean is to everybody that'll listen to him. That's not the resolution. Yeah, Roy.
So what you're saying is you can have different opinions and still worship God.
Yeah.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
I mean, your opinion should not stop one or the other.
Okay. Eileen?
Next reading about this situation, and one of the suggestions is resist the urge to take sides. In other words, don't get caught up in the back and forth vilifying this person, vilifying. Resist the urge to take sides.
Yeah, just like when there's a divorce, you know. I got to look for people that will be on my side, that will take my side in this divorce. And you got to look for people that will take your side in this divorce. So we start running around looking for people that will line up with us. That doesn't accomplish anything. Going separate ways did. Okay.
Our differences shouldn't destroy our love for God, the gospel, and each other.
Oh, very good point. Who made that point? That's excellent. Excellent.
Got it.
You've got to keep your eye on God. And just because you decide that not having Bible classes is the best way for us to exhort and build each other up. And I decide that having Bible classes is the best way to build each other up. Doesn't mean that we have to resolve the question. You're not going to resolve that question. Both of you are right. Classes are good. Not dividing the church into classes is good. Okay? And usually what that's going to mean is that this side of the building is going to go and have no classes. They're going to start a new church. This side of the building is going to stay with having classes, and they're going to start a new church. And there'll be a few people that are left here in the middle, and they're sort of stuck. That's not a resolution. Okay. Yeah, we may decide to start a group that does it this way, and to have another group that does it this way. That's fine. Okay. Comments. What's it say about striving for unity? Where's the unity in this? Yeah, Carol.
The unity is our love for Christ and God. It's that simple. We may disagree on other things, but so long as I know that they love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength, and all their soul, I'm one with them.
Okay. Okay. How many churches are there in Eugene?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds? Maybe? Sure. I don't know. The real question is, if you love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and you do things differently than I do, that's okay. But my job is not to say, you have to come and be with me. Or for you to say, no, you have to come and be with me. And that's generally what we devolve into. So it's an interesting, just an interesting incident that happened, that it's described in very terse terms. Do you wish you had more information here? Why did Joe Bart leave? I don't know. Why did one of us think it would be a good idea to take John Mark with them? Because this was a way to build him up and pump him up and get him back in the swing of things. I don't know. Why did Paul say no? If you're not faithful in everything, as far as Paul is concerned, you're not faithful in anything. I can't argue with those. So, I think it's a lesson for us. And particularly a lesson about unity. And what our unity really consists of. So, we'll take some time now. We'll go get our kids. We'll bring them back. And we're going to come back into the auditorium and we'll have some prayers. I'll lead a prayer that gives praise to God. Ted's going to lead a prayer with our requests for God. And Lenny's going to lead a prayer of thanksgiving to God for all the things that he's done. So, Let's go get our kids quickly, get back in the auditorium, and we'll have a little bit of time for our prayers. Thank you for your comment.
Good job.
Let's get everybody back. We had a prayer together and felt like this could be an opportunity for us to do things a little bit differently. And we thought it was going to be an opportunity for us to engage one another in prayers. And so we're taking this opportunity to do that. It means we'll have a little bit shortened sermon this morning, but that's okay.